welcome back to the Performance Project. This is Jen Verheeren. In this session, we are going to dive into how to use stressful situations to your advantage. You can make your nerves your superpower. I know it's possible because it's my own journey from fear to power that taught me what I'm going to share with you now. Years ago, as an adult, I got bucked off my big young mare at a symposium. I knew it was going to happen. I hadn't had this mare for very long. She was 17 hands, just turned 4, super dynamic mover. And I believe now that she had just come into her first heat cycle that she'd had since I got her. We were in the first ride after lunch, and there were people stomping around up in the viewing area. There were shots going off at a nearby sportsman's club, and I felt like I was sitting on 10 kegs of dynamite. The clinician thought that the best way to work through her tension was to canter. I knew that she would explode if I asked her to canter in the first 10 minutes of my ride. So I trotted around like a little kid on a pony as he yelled louder and louder at me to canter. At some point, I decided to trust him and just do it. I don't remember hitting the ground, but I do remember flying through the air. I didn't end up in the hospital, but both my body and my psyche took a hit. Everyone and their dog and God were there watching that day. In addition to lingering fear, I felt embarrassed and I felt worried about the impact that that experience was going to have on my horse. Following that clinic, that symposium, for the first time in my life, I began to experience debilitating fear in the saddle. She would flick an ear and I would get an adrenaline rush. For the first time in my life, I could not control the tension in my body. I got so frustrated with myself because it seemed like I was having these over-the-top reactions to every little thing. I could not control my thoughts once fear took over, and that fall would play over and over in my head even when I tried not to think about it. So I was a professional. This horse meant the world to me and the client who purchased her for me. I would lay awake at night thinking over and over about the very real prospect that I might fail with her and that my career was over. If I couldn't get a handle on the fear, my biggest fears might come to life. So began my journey to figure this thing out. I read the books, I consulted the sports psychologist, and I dove deep into the topic of overcoming fear. It seemed like there were a lot of little pieces out there, but no magic pill. Of course. But as I was, you know, learning and exploring all of these ideas, I began to truly understand a physiological, emotional, and mental perspective must all be understood in order to really get to the other side of fear. I began to understand the special dynamic that exists between horse and rider, which requires more than just basic sports psychology to strengthen and rehabilitate. The stuff I tried began to work. I started to put it together and share what I was learning with my students and clients. The program I developed was born of my own desperate need to get my mojo back, but it has grown through the opportunities that I've had to work with hundreds of riders now, all who want to achieve the pinnacle of what's possible for them. Turning your fear to power starts with a basic understanding of how your mind, body, and emotions can harmonize to generate optimal performance. Stress is actually just the human response to change, and life is change. So it follows that life is basically stress. We tend to think stress is a negative thing. We try to avoid it, manage it, and medicate it. This means we're actually trying to avoid, manage, and medicate life. And this is crazy. What if instead of managing or avoiding stress, we were to accept it as a way of life and be courageous about how we navigate it? You've already heard me say this: your thoughts create your world. Your thoughts drive your emotions, and your emotions drive your behavior. Okay, your thoughts drive your emotions, and your emotions drive your behavior. We're going to discuss this concept throughout the Performance Project. Much of the time, we're completely unaware of our thoughts and of the impact that they have on our emotions. We have 60,000 thoughts in a day, and they're almost all habitual. They also tend to be repetitive. 98% of the thoughts you'll have today are the same ones that you had yesterday. Your thoughts can keep you repeating the same patterns over and over without you ever realizing that it's happening. When left unattended, our thoughts also tend to be negative. Throughout human history, we've needed to be vigilant about threats in order to survive. We're genetically programmed to notice danger so we can avoid it and stay alive. This is true for everyone. Have you ever had an experience where you had a whole bunch of good things happen, but you were only able to focus on the one bad thing? I have. I once got 199 positive evaluations after a seminar I did and one critical one. Do you think I laid in bed all night thinking about the 199 positive responses? Hell no. I beat myself up for days over the one negative response. This is how our brains work. Here's what I'd like you to consider during the performance project. You have the power to change your thoughts. I'm going to describe now what some sports psychologists call the ideal performance state. We're going to call it the zone. Athletes all over the world talk about the experience of being in the zone. When you're in the zone, you're focused and totally in the moment. You're physically, mentally, and emotionally exactly where you need to be in order to perform your best. Athletes describe a feeling of deep concentration, emotional buoyancy, a sense of mastery, and a lack of self-consciousness when they're in the zone. You might think that only elite athletes experience this, that it's a state only available after years of training to people possessing great talent. Wrong. You can learn to get into the zone. You can create the conditions necessary to enter that sweet spot under pressure. The only caveat is that the harder you try, the more elusive that sweet spot can become. So, if it's not about trying harder, what's it about? I'm going to share with you the two different ways that we can handle stress. In what I call the fear cycle, nerves or anxiety trigger the release of stress hormones, a chemical combination of cortisol and adrenaline. This creates a fight or flight response in your body. This has evolved as a survival mechanism. Your heart beats faster, breathing gets rapid, glucose is released into your bloodstream, and your body becomes hyper-prepped for action. The function of the rational mind is temporarily decreased so that the body can react instinctively. That's really important. The function of the rational mind is temporarily decreased so that the body can react instinctively. This is a natural response to stress, and it's most likely your habitual one. And it's just that, a habit. I have people say to me all the time, I'm just a nervous person, or I tend to be anxious, or I'm not good under pressure. And those could all be true, but the important thing to get here is that these are not inherent personality traits. The fear cycle is just a habit. Humans are hardwired to survive in a dangerous world. We all develop this habitual response to stress throughout our lives. Okay, on the other hand, in what we're going to call the power cycle, excitement, love, and joy trigger the production of endorphins and other mood-enhancing hormones. This chemical combination creates a mild euphoria, it reduces pain, and it boosts your immune system. It reduces the stress response. It creates a sense of energetic calm. This is most often an intentional cycle. It's one we need to understand, and then we can consciously create it. We all possess the ability to do this. You may struggle to greater or lesser degrees with the fear cycle, and different tools may be more or less effective for you than someone else, but you can interrupt the fear cycle and turn your fear to power. To get really clear about what the fear cycle looks like, refer to the diagram in your training notebook. Okay? You first have certain thoughts. Those thoughts trigger particular emotions. Those emotions generate a physiological response in your body. Your horse feels those, and they trigger a particular emotion in the horse. Then your horse develops particular thoughts about the situations in which this cycle occurs. So there it is. It's simple, and yet it can be frustrating to get out of. This likely sounds familiar to you. even if you have a saint of a horse or you don't experience the fear cycle to the degree that it stresses your horse out, it still impacts your performance. It can still keep you from having fun and being present. So where does it start? Where is your opportunity to intercept and change the fear cycle? It is at the level of your mind. You can intercept the fear cycle at the level of your mind. If you feel like you can't control your nerves or your physical response to stress, it's only because you've not yet discovered your own power to control your mind. In the horse world, we are taught to buck up, to get back on the horse, and push through fear. We think we should be able to get rid of it through repetition and grit. We think we're supposed to be fearless. But of course, what we resist persists. Any fear we're trying to suppress, get rid of, avoid, or push through gets stuck in our bodies. It gets harder and harder to manage because it actually gets stronger the more we try to deny it. So I'm going to encourage you to stop trying to control your emotions and instead take control of your thoughts. Okay, stop trying to control your emotions and instead take control of your thoughts. You are in charge of your thoughts, even though it feels like your thoughts run the show sometimes. You can actually retrain your brain, and that's what we're going to do in the performance project. So get ready.